right. Hey, Alpha, how's it going? Hey.
Oh, man. It's Monday, and it feels like it's about the third Monday of the same week.
We already did a show of, you know,
a
seven
month of Mondays.
A month of Mondays. Well, you're coming to the end of that month of Mondays, and we're going into May already. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Lord, I cannot wait for the Monday cycle to end. I mean, professionally, things have been just more than
well, a your month bit of Mondays extra. Is coming to an end, but I don't think there's I think it's more April showers, but no May flowers. Anyway, well, I wanted to share with you my continued journey to lease my rights back from New York State in terms of the Second Amendment. Today was the part one of the 2-hour requirement to show the practical competency with a handgun. Now, I will say that many of the things that I learned as we were kids reared its ugly head again all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
Same problems.
Same problem, different day, huh?
But I will not blame you for learning bad habits. I think I had good habits. It's just I know how to clear the weapon. I know how to load it. I know how to all that stuff. I know how to stand. Although I kind of like I try to get the gun, the sights as close to me as possible, just for the vision's sakes. But let's just say the trigger pull is not smooth. It's a jerky motion, and the instructor actually picked up on what I was doing. So I was trying to do it nice and slow and even. And when it wasn't happening, my impatience was coming out in the fact of a jerky pull, anticipating that boom, you know, and, you know, trying to hold it on target at the same time.
Well, okay. So
you're the doctor of all things.
Yeah.
Marksmanship. What was I doing wrong, sir?
Well, what you're doing wrong, number one, is really nothing. Okay, so let's dispel what you're doing wrong.
All right.
You are starting from a severe deficit. Uh-huh. And the deficit is you haven't spent a lifetime or the past 30 plus years, 35 years shooting something. Okay?
So compared to your tens of thousands of rounds you put downrange.
Probably millions, my friend.
Okay.
Millions.
I have maybe 100.
Right. To that, exactly. Right? So let's put this into context. Okay. Right. So let's not beat yourself up, and let's not make this discouraging for somebody who's thinking about going maybe down the same journey, which I highly encourage, obviously. But shooting is a sport or a skill that it takes time. It takes a lot of practice. You've got, you know, it's a mental game in as much as it is a physical game. And once you overcome some of the mental stumbling blocks you might have, the physical starts to kind of come into play. And it's just, it's about repetition until you get it right. And then it feels right. And then you can repeat the experiment consistently.
Right.
Okay. So you learn how to shoot standing. You learn how to shoot, you know, strong hand only. You learn how to shoot support hand only, both hands, kneeling, prone, upside down with handgun. Any number of different skills need to be mastered for self-defense with a handgun. Am I the Yoda of handguns?
Yes.
Yes, Yoda, you are. Yes, much good with guns. You do.
I'm a little too big to be Yoda, but anyhow, the point is, I've been doing this for 30 something years.
Right.
I've competed all over the country. I've shot in a lot of matches. I've taken classes. I enjoy this. Now, don't be so freaking hard on yourself.
Well, when I missed the paper, that was not funny. I think I hit the ground a couple times.
What were you expecting? Was there some kind of expectation that somebody such as yourself, don't take this the wrong way, with nearly zero experience with a handgun in their hand,
right, to do well? The only time I've ever shot was your Browning High Power, and when I was in college, actually, because I was shooting rifles with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
But it's so intermittent, you know?
Well, okay. So hold on a minute now. You asked me what the problem was.
No. I'm just saying with the history, you have to have a history of what's going on too to help you understand.
Sure. Well, you don't have a big history with handguns.
Right.
None, really. You've shot a handgun maybe a couple of times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I spent 35 years doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a handgun that I bought in, 1992 that I still shoot.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? Pretty damn good with the thing. I understand it, right?
Right.
Okay. You're at a disadvantage. However, problems on the firing line and in form and in repetition and in a number of things, they're fixable things.
Mm-hmm.
You just need some practice.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on a line and you're shooting a handgun, maybe for the first time, starting with a 9mm automatic handgun, which is probably what you were shooting today, probably yes. A Glock,
SIG.
Like a model.
It was a SIG.
Which model? Was it polymer?
Yes, it was a plastic.
Okay, it was a SIG 320.
Yes.
Okay.
SIG 38.
Shit, there's your problem.
It was a 38, I think. It wasn't a, it was a 9mm. I think 38 sounds familiar. Or 32, I can't remember.
320.
Oh, 320.
320. Yeah. You were shooting a SIG 320.
Yes.
It's a full-size, duty-size 9mm handgun, also known as the M17 that the military has purchased, with a few minor changes. Okay, it's a modular polymer frame pistol.
Right.
Four-inch barrel on yours.
Yes.
Most probably. Okay. I had one. I don't have it anymore. Do you know why I don't have it anymore?
You didn't like it?
Because it shot like shit. And it made me shoot like shit. So that thing became somebody else's problem. Okay.
Yeah.
That gun, and I am proficient with any gun I put in my hand, I can make work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been doing this a long time. There are plenty of people out there that are much, 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 much better than me. Believe me, I'm not trying to be, like I know everything, because mm-hmm. I certainly don't. Okay. For anybody listening, I don't. I shoot pretty well. I'm very competent, right? I could not make that handgun work. I could not. Here's your problem. You don't understand the trigger on that gun. And I didn't understand the trigger on the gun either.
Mm.
There was never a definitive, like when you grab, okay, so this is a public service announcement for everybody out there in the world that's learning how to shoot. Your number one cause of accuracy issues is lack of trigger control.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely tell you. One of the things that the instructor noticed with me
mm-hmm.
was, so I'm pulling, trying to pull nice and slow, and just he had me counting to 1001, 1002 as I'm pulling the trigger, and I'm like anticipate, come on already, let's go, and I pulled and I would just jerk it. I would jerk the trigger because I got impatient.
You weren't pressing. You were pulling.
I was pulling. I wasn't.
There's a difference. There's a big difference, right?
And I think the rest of my hand sympathetically was pulling the gun. It's like my golf game, by the way.
Yeah,
I always lift my head because I want to see where it's going, and I can't see where it's going anyway. So, all right, fine.
Okay, so what you're doing here is you don't understand the trigger on the gun.
All right. Yeah.
Because I don't like the SIG trigger either. This is a nuanced thing. It's probably mm-hmm. just a coincidence that you shot the gun like crap, okay?
Yeah.
But for me, it was very difficult for me to shoot that gun, to my expectation. Could I have put 3 bullets or 4 bullets on a piece of paper? Yeah. But, okay. So like when I'm shooting, you're shooting to, get on a piece of paper, right?
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm aiming at when I'm shooting?
A quarter, I think.
No.
25 yards.
The third button down on the button down shirt.
The what?
The third button down on the button down shirt.
Oh, really? Right there.
I'm aiming at a target the size of a shirt button on the target. because I shoot B-27 silhouette targets as a regular course of practice, because when I go shoot steel matches, it's the same size target.
Right.
Right. So I'm aiming, if somebody were wearing a men's button down shirt, first button, second button, third button, I'm aiming at the third button. Always. Mm-hmm. All right. So you don't understand your trigger.
Mm.
You need to dry fire the weapon a lot of times.
Mm.
You know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
You start playing like small venues first.
Practice, know? Right.
You got to practice. I mean, this is the first time I've ever fired a SIG 320. And, well, sir, I don't really like it. But, I mean, we did some trigger pulls. We did some practice trigger pulls, but there was no real... I couldn't feel the engagement. You know, either I wasn't feeling it or I was just trying to get the pull down. But I wasn't getting the right feeling on that trigger as I was pulling, you know, getting a click and knowing that, okay, this is the place where I get, you know, I don't have to guess where the bang is going to come.
Well, so that's part of the problem with the SIG trigger, number one. It doesn't have a definitive, what we would call, you know, there's two stages to these triggers on these polymer frame pistols, generally speaking, hammerless pistols. What we call a prepped action pistol or a striker fired gun, right? Where you're actually cocking the striker spring with the return of the trigger to a wall and then it snaps loose off the connector. In the SIG, it's a real soft take up. It's real soft trigger up front with a long travel, right?
Yeah, it was long travel. And I couldn't figure out where it was.
Where exactly. You engage, you know? And then somewhere along that travel, you hit a hard spot, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's called the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're shooting and you're prepping your trigger and you're pointed in at your target, you've made the decision, paper bad guy,
yep,
real bad guy, you know, finger on trigger, slack out, prep that trigger, get it to the wall. And then when you get good sight picture, that's when you press through the wall. Okay, so it becomes one smooth, fluid motion.
Right.
What you're doing is you're trapped there with anticipation,
and
you're just not breathing through the wall. Mm-hmm. So you have no follow through, and your trigger control is absent because it's a lack of exposure and practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I'm picking on you. It is.
No, I'm. Exact. It's important. It's important to understand what the mistakes are, so you can learn from them and then do better next time, which, you know, the instructor says he's seen worse. I mean, to me, it's just that anticipation of the bang, and you want to be ready so the gun doesn't fly out of your hand or whatever. You know, and you're trying to, you know, you're always remembering, you know, trigger finger on the body until you have your target in sight. And when you're ready, then move your finger to the trigger. You know, it's all these things that I think we learned when we were, I learned when I was working with you, but I just only have a couple, maybe 100 rounds.
Well, the thing about what you're trying to do right now is you're trying to put together a number of complex thoughts, emotions, motions, and mechanical actions into play all in a very compressed timeline. When you sit there and you have time to think about the individual steps, it's okay. But when you have to compress that timeline down to, you have to have this entire thought process of getting hand on gun, clearing cover garment, not flagging yourself with a firearm, keeping your finger outside of the trigger guard as you come to a draw, a counted draw. I'll teach you that another time, in a safe manner, but quickly you bring your hands together, you point to the target, you point in, your fingers on the trigger, you've identified bad guy, you've made the decision either to shoot or not to shoot, but you're ready in that moment, you're compressing that timeline down to under a second. Think of all the things that you have to know and remember, and then having to execute all of that and using your judgment within a second. Holy shit, right?
Yeah, holy shit, Batman.
So don't be too damn hard on yourself, okay? Take it in steps, take it easy, and understand that I was an instructor for many, 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 many years. And I've seen some people that were pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've seen some people that were just really naturally very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's luck of the draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all the problems. I've experienced all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing for you to remember is handguns are the hardest tool in the toolbox to use. Anybody that thinks hitting a target with a handgun reliably from any distance is something that's easy to do, put your money where your mouth is, show up, and I'll put my money on the table. You'll put your money on the table. We'll see who wins. Okay? You won't win. You can't win. Right? It is the hardest tool in the toolbox to use. Rifles are much easier tools for people who don't shoot a lot to use.
Mm-hmm.
The mode of operation is not terribly difficult. You don't have to know, you have to know a few things, but to shoot accurately, rapidly, and engage potentially multiple targets with a gun like an AR-15 is quite easy in relative comparison. Now, a shotgun is an expert's gun, contrary to what everybody wants to tell you. Oh, a shotgun, you just pull it out, you pull the trigger, you don't even have to aim.
Oh, what?
Bullshit. Now, that's what all the, everybody says. Oh, you don't even have to aim.
I've shot 12 gauges doing skeet shooting, you know, with buck, you know, buckshot.
You were using number 7 field loads, my friend.
Is that what it was?
That is the gentlest of gentle.
Even my arm hurt with that too.
Well, yeah. You know, in a self-defense situation, if you have to fire a 12 gauge more than once, you're not going to feel it anyways.
Right.
But it's an expert's gun. You have to learn how to aim it. You have to understand its capabilities and limitations, just like anything else. Right. Mm-hmm. And a shotgun requires the most training, the most practice. And just remember, a rifle reloads pretty easily. A handgun reloads really easily out of magazines. Shotguns, not so much. You get in and out of a shotgun fight with what you've got in or on the shotgun. Okay? That's it.
Mm.
And those suckers take a long time to reload. So you better be ready, and you better know what you're doing. So I think you're going down the right path. Don't be discouraged. All these problems can be fixed. All it takes is time. Just remember, you can't miss fast enough to win a gunfight.
Right.
Slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slow down. So that being said,
I have a pretty decent instructor. He's
sure.
President of the gun club, and he knows what he's doing.
That you can tell them to do is, you know, have the handgun pointed in at the target at the reasonable distance you want to shoot at, align your sights the right way, grip, prep your trigger, have him put a stick over the end of your finger and pop the stick with his hand. That'll make you break that wall without flinching.
Oh, yeah?
There's no anticipation when that happens. So you understand what a good shot feels like.
Hmm.
And a good trigger pull. That's a trick I used to use for people that were flinchy McFlinsters. You know, there's a lot of shit going on in your hand, man, when you're not used to it. You've got a mass of metal reciprocating at a high rate. You've got a blast of noise and fire and smoke. Yeah. You've got an ejecting shell kicking over. There's a lot of activity happening in front of your face.
Right, right, right.
Until people get comfortable with that, it freaks people out.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel too bad about it, man.
Yeah.
Handguns suck. They're hard to use.
I intend to practice quite a bit. That's going to be my new pastime. It's going to be going to the range and, you know.
Well, what you really want to do is you want to get yourself a nice 22 caliber semi-automatic pistol.
Mm-hmm.
with a set of open iron sights. Don't put red dots. Don't put any of that bullshit on the gun. Take the gun to the range. Bring a bunch of ammunition in your cleaning kit. Make a day out of it in the summertime. Shoot 200 or 300 rounds. Nice and easy. Good trigger pulls. Good sight alignment. Good everything. Just make it go nice and slow. Make it intentional, right? Mm-hmm. You will build your skill so fast. Or buy one of those little Glock 44s.
Oh, yeah.
It's that's what I was looking caliber. At. It's a 22 caliber Glock 19 style pistol. It's great for training because the trigger is almost exactly identical to a Glock 48 or a 19.
Right.
That little Glock 48, I have news for you, my friend. That's a pocket rocket. That's gonna really hurt your hand when you pull the trigger. I don't know that you're ready for that.
All right.
So let the buyer beware on those little slim frame Glocks. They tend to come back at you pretty fast.
All right.
Ask me how I know.
You probably know because it hits you in the head.
Oh. I got one sitting right here.
Anyway.
So
the other part of it was and you're right. It's part of it is that you have to perform because if you don't get past this, you don't get the 2-hour certification that you need to get your firearm that you already purchased because you still have to go through the fingerprinting and in front of, you know, in the interview with the sheriffs and, you know, they got to sign off on it and all that fun stuff, but.
Hell yeah.
We're in a good county, so.
You're not going to have an issue with that, but let me tell you one thing, one real quick story. So many moons ago, I lived in a land far, far away, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of my kids' teachers wanted to have the ability to carry, and I was a carry instructor. There was a couple of school shootings where we lived, and people were pretty worked up about it, you know? And they came to me, and I taught them some classes. Mm-hmm. I taught a bunch of teachers and they were nice people. These gals were, they were cool chicks. I mean, these teachers my kid had back when she went to elementary school, they were very, very good educators. They were nice to her. They were great. So I taught them all for free. There was one chick, she shows up and she was a cool girl. One of my kids' teachers, she shows up with a gun case at the range for her practical. And she says, "My grandpa gave this to me. Do you think this will be okay?" She hands me the case. I unzip the case and I open up the case and it was like the Ark of the Covenant coming out of this gun bag. I'm like, "Where did you get this?" She says, "Oh, my grandpa gave it to me. I told him I was coming to the range to qualify for my pistol permit and he gave it to me. He said, here, take this." It was a 1958 vintage Hartford, Connecticut Colt Detective Special, royal blue, unfired, new in box.
1948?
Yeah, 1958.
1958. Whoa.
It was a Detective Special. I think it was a 58. No, wait a minute. No, it was either 58 or a 64. 64. No, she had a Model 10 that was a 58. Mm-hmm. This was a 64, 1964 vintage handgun.
Revolver? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
A little six-shot 38 caliber revolver.
Wow.
Beautiful. We loaded it up. She took her test. She's a dangerous woman with that thing in her hands.
Oh, boy.
Dangerous woman.
If you provoke her, I'm sure. Anyway.
Well, she was a dangerous girl, that one. She was pretty funny.
Right.
Go ahead. So what do we want to talk about now? How has the world disappointed you today?
Well.
Where would you like to start?
Where do you want to start? I think it's important that we go again to the continuous nonsense that's going on our college campuses. But I will say that the underlying message that I want to portray right there to everybody is this is anti-Semitism, 100% pure in her face right now. This stuff that's going on with the college campuses and everything else, They're not talking about Palestinians support. They're saying death to Jews. They are saying injury. You know, they want to kill the Jews. This is what they're saying. And that's what I'm paying attention to.
Oh, I think everybody is paying attention.
It's definitely backfiring on the Democrats, I will say.
Well, I don't care about the politics of it right now. Maybe my thought process might be a little bit different than yours. I don't care about the Republican Democrat thing. I don't care about that in this situation. What I'm seeing is the universities are negotiating with these people.
This is almost like BLM. Think about the insanity of that. Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's crazy.
Oh, they're negotiating now. The students that participated in this, well, they realize that they've done something probably really terrible, right? And now they're like, oh, we want amnesty, and the colleges are like, yeah, don't think so.
Well, I think it goes. I think there's a little bit more nuance in this issue, and I believe it has to do with that narrative building, you know, and the presidents of these colleges overplayed their hands terribly, because they were at Congress. What was it, 3 weeks ago, I believe. They were talking with Congress, and they were in front of there saying, oh, everything's fine, it's a peaceful protest. Meanwhile, these people are supported by many different NGOs and ultimately George Soros and the World Economic Forum, and they're being strategically placed in these areas to disrupt. And now we see colleges shutting down classes, and the seniors that are graduating 4 years ago are reliving their high school graduations that were canceled.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
So this is going beyond nuts.
Yeah. Oh, this is just sick at this point. I mean, this is just sick. I get a real big charge out of these kids that are out there, and there's a couple of colleges that are actually standing up to these kids and saying, if you're taking part in this, you're finished here. You're done. You're withdrawn. You're out. You're
done. Which is what they should have done with BLM, just saying.
Well, this is a bit of a different situation.
Okay.
You know, these are kids enrolled in these colleges and these institutions that signed a code of conduct. And when you're running around advocating for harm against other students and driving them off of your campus and not letting Jews on your campus, you got a problem. You got a big problem. You have a massive problem that when upside down bizarro world gets its ass realigned is going to be a serious liability issue for you. You may have a little bit of protection, but even the hardcore leftists are going, yeah, you might want to back off the whole kill the Jews thing. That's probably not going to work out real good for us. It doesn't. That looks bad.
Well, it's really looking bad for Biden because he's trying to play the middle card, meaning he wants to play both sides of the issue. And he's trying to, you know, look over here. I'm supporting Israel when he's really screwing him over.
At the same time, he's condemning Netanyahu for right. what they've done. Right.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, this is just, this is absurd.
It is. It's nuts. So I will say, I think going, you just have to continue to not acknowledge that this is okay. It was definitely not okay to be blocking highways and people needing to get places, and because you're basically kidnapping. You know, you're restricting the person's ability to go where they want to go. So, can't hear you.
Ah, sorry. You're unlawfully detaining somebody.
That's right. Unlawfully detaining someone.
Well, that's just the beginning of it. You know, the whole part there's these idiots have provided our team with enough sound bites and video footage and optics and sound bites and snapshots of just how awful they really are, that it's almost like kicking puppies at this point. Because I think the right-thinking people in this country are like, yeah, kill the Jews, probably bad. I can tell that he's lost the left has lost their grip on the minority vote.
Oh, they have, yes.
Did you see the video, the music video put out by Afro Man today?
No, I have to go see that. What?
Okay, well, I sent you a link to it because somebody sent it to me.
I never watched it.
Can't play it because it's copyrighted. It's property of somebody, but you can go on Twitter and you can find Afro Man. Just look it up and listen to the song, the rap song that Afro Man put out today. It is hilarious. I am now a new fan of rap.
All right.
I never was. Today with Afro Man. He's my favorite rapper today.
I'm not sure he's my favorite, but okay, I will check out the video, I promise.
Well, this whole thing is just, you know, I think these kids are going to run out of steam here real soon when the gravity of what they've done has really sunk in. I think they're going to run out of steam.
So I think it's definitely clear. Obama has definitely now come into focus completely when it comes to his role in what he's saying and his actions and what he wants to see happen. And people are starting to question, especially what he did when he was president, when he bombed Al-Awlaki with a drone. And the Supreme Court, I listened to some of the arguments, and the liberal justice, Sotomayor, Kagan, sounded like complete illiterates. Oh, and Jackson too. They're asking,
you're going to come with a 5-4 on this one.
Yeah, because of
Roberts.
Yeah. No. I think it'll be 6-3 on this one. Yeah. But I want to point out that the arguments given by the U.S. government was totally preposterous. They're trying to have a double. They're trying to have the cake and eat it too, and they're basically Trump did this, Trump did that. And I was like, wait a minute, isn't there equal protection under the law? The last time I checked, not when it comes to Trump. I get it.
I don't think so. Not anymore. I mean, look what they've done. Look what they've done.
I know exactly what they've done. They've trying to have their cake and eat it too.
I think people are starting to get it now. You know, you were there a long time ago that people are waking up and they're starting to get it. Trust the plan kind of shit. Okay, fine. I don't go with any of the Q stuff. I don't believe a word of it.
Oh, right? But this is a side note. Go ahead. Finish your point. I will.
I don't think it's all, I think that's all bullshit. But anyhow, you were here like 6 or 7 months ago.
Yes.
And I was. And I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I think things are starting to turn. I think what we said is they were going to start eating themselves alive, and that's exactly what's happening.
And Dan Bongino said it too, by the way.
Well, he might have said it too, but you know, it's quite obvious that you can only burn the candle from both ends for so long, right?
Right. Or that cornered animal that's dying is going to get desperate, and they're already eating their own. So, you know, they're gnawing their leg off, you know? But anyway, I want to bring this to your attention. And
what's that?
President Trump is saying things that Q say, by the way, trust us. We're there. We're going to get this where we all go, where we go one, we go all. A lot of these things are in the quatrains of the Nostradamus Q. Yes. I call it the Q Nostradamus.
For fuck's sake, my friend.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I don't believe this.
Read the entry, you know, the posts that they had put out there? I mean,
I read a lot of it, and I thought it was just mostly gibberish.
Well, it's all about perception. Everything has to do with perception. How do you interpret it?
Very, very different people. We perceive things very, very, very differently.
That's why, because, and we happen to see things mostly eye to eye, but how we get there sometimes is I'm in a curvy, you know, roundabout way to get to some places, and you're a straight line.
Let's go right through the wall. Let's get there.
Let's get there already. And I'm kind of like, ah, well, this does have some nuance, and yeah, that sounds about right. But all in all, it does kind of – forget all that stuff. Put that aside right now. And what President Trump has put out there, we know what they're doing. You know, we're on top. You know, it's going to be the best time ever when I take over. You know, a lot of things, there's hope when President Trump is in the room. Think about what he just did. He went to the Carpenters Union, you know, that and you have thousands of people, and you have the shop steward, you know, the head cheese of the union.
Yeah.
I just did a poll, and 9,000 members, and it's 3-1, Trump to Biden.
Yeah.
Now the press is still their same old propagandist arm of what's going on.
I don't think they know whether to shit or wind their watch, my friend. I think they're just getting their, I think they're getting their asses handed to them left and right.
Well, they're also Joe Scarborough gets on his Morning Joe show in the morning, and has all the talking points we're all supposed to be following, and everyone's saying we can't say this shit anymore because we're not making any sense. No one believes us anyway, and no one's paying attention to them, right? CNN has 100,000 people watching them. MSNBC has 75,000. Rachel Maddow is a mad cow when it comes to Trump and starts ranting and raving about the entire, oh, my God, the sky is falling, Chicken Little BS. So, yeah, I would say we're winning slowly, but not enough people are waking up yet.
I would always agree with that. And what I'm most concerned about, you know, quite frankly, is all of this bullshit's going to take care of itself. I hope in a positive way. Right. I hope that, you know, look, like I've said a million times, if you want justice, don't look to the court system. No. Right. I just hope that because there's nothing else I can do.
Well, the judge, I mean, stay out of a judge's courtroom, basically. I mean, if they don't like you, they're going to, impartiality is a thing of the past. I mean, that's the biggest disturbing thing I see right now is that you have a judge running on personal vendetta right now. And he's thrown out all common sense. And that's something else that you and I value very, very deeply is the fact that things need to make sense. And if, you know, if we can't answer the question why, then it's a hell no. It's a no, first of all, unless you prove it. And then it's a no effing way because we're not going to listen to it. Because this whole entire process where this judge is just ignoring the law, isn't the judge supposed to be the master of the law? Like, you're the master of firearms. You know, you're the Yoda of shooting. Aren't these judges supposed to be the masters of their courtrooms where
fairness? Well, I know I've got a friend who would tell you all sorts of horror stories from the inside of a courthouse.
Wow.
About how some of these judges are absolutely completely fucking clueless. And the clerks do all the work, and these people are just terrible people.
Hmm.
Especially some of the ones that might have had a little help getting where they are that we talked about last time. They can be a little difficult.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well,
there are no standards anymore, obviously. So.
The standard is? There is no standard. Gotcha.
There is no standard. That's correct. So
I'm going to share. What's that? Oh.
Hold on one second here. Yeah. What I think, you know, look, I've got a lot of people that I'm friendly with in the area here. We chat once in a while. There's a lot of concern from people, even in the left-leaning areas, that yeah, maybe we let a genie out of the bottle with this illegal immigration shit that we shouldn't have touched.
Pandora's and box, you mean?
Yeah, Pandora's box, right?
Right.
And I think they're starting to realize the gravity of the situation that they find themselves in.
Hmm.
You've got this county where I live has turned into a sanctuary county. There is no better way to turn blue to red than to have a sanctuary county and have, you know, MS-13 running amok in your county with the police department defunded.
That kind of seems like a personal destruction, doesn't it?
It really does.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, who in God's green earth would want total mayhem? I don't want it.
Because they can't win on ideas. They have to win on votes, okay? And they've pissed everybody off. They have gone through the well one too many times, made too many promises, and broke them all, and nobody fucking believes them anymore. So they need people here that are indebted to them that are going to give them some votes. When they have enough people here that they think will vote for them, maybe then they'll do something about the illegal immigration. Or not.
No, they're banking on the fact that they're going to be voting for them, but there has actually been reports where immigrants are very conservative in nature, and you know they're not. First of all,
the Catholics from South and Central America don't go for the whole transsexual shit.
No,
they don't go for the whole abortion issue.
No,
all they care about is the economy and making money.
Right.
Just because they showed up here on a Wednesday doesn't mean they're dumb.
Right.
They're not.
Right. So this whole idea that, you know, the assumption that these immigrants will vote Democrat blindly, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test. Right. Anyway.
Right now, they can't vote until they change that next week. So whatever.
So but I wanted to share this. Typically, when you go to Florida, most of the time you get on an airplane and you fly down to Florida. Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of time, and I said, you know what? I want to drive to Florida. I want to see what this is all about. I think I did it when I was like 8 or 9 years old. You know, and you're in the back seat. You know. Someone else is driving, you fall asleep, you wake up, are we there yet? That kind of thing. Let me tell you, my friend, driving to a state, you know, a whole different region of the country takes a long, long time, and there's not much to do. Well, I mean, I listened to audiobooks. It was great. Yes. I was listening to some naval, you know, novels. You're talking about fighter pilots, you know, naval aviators, and great stories, you know, really, you know, China, you know, fighting with China, Iran, all this other stuff. But it was a great way to pass 20 hours to get
there. I know, ridiculous, isn't it?
And you say, okay, I've gotten down through New Jersey, not a bad deal. You know, it's also, let's phrase the trip. I already been down that way so many times. It's an easy drive. I'm familiar with it. Well, let's get to Delaware. It's like a blink. You know, no wonder why Biden carried the state, because I don't think anyone lives there, to be honest with you. There's a big bridge.
There's a lot more people in Delaware than you think.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, the Delaware Bridge, that was a pretty neat bridge to go. I like bridges and tunnels and stuff. And get to Baltimore, and it was a little busy. To get down 495, what a pain in the neck.
695.
What? Look, it was part of 95, and it had me go down 695 or something, and yeah, it was like a parking lot.
You went through the left side of the west side of Baltimore.
Right.
On the Baltimore Beltway on 695.
Parking lot.
To clip 95 to go back down near Laurel.
Correct. Parking
lot. Yes. No, I was, yes, I've been there many, many, many times.
Parking lot. Has yes. a tunnel there oh, somewhere along the way. But anyway, so that was, you know, once I got through that.
The Fort McHenry Tunnel.
Right. Virginia, big state, 300 miles long.
Oh.
It's like you're on 95 and it's only two lanes. And while you're driving down the road and you're doing, it's 70. I mean, it's posted 70 miles an hour. The trucks do that, of course. But what will happen is a truck will pass another truck, and then all the cars that are doing 75, 80, 85, you know, get stacked up like cordwood, 50 cars in a line waiting for this truck to pass the other truck. And, you know, it's like trying to navigate a Frogger game. You remember Frogger? You had to go in between the car, and that's what it was.
Well, Interstate 95 sucks.
Oh, well, it gets better. So then I hit South North Carolina, and I've been driving for about 12 hours or so. You know, what was it? Rocky Mount. That's where I was. That's where I stopped for the night because I was tired. And you don't understand. I really was like tired. I mean, you have to pay attention. It's a lot of, you know, paying attention and driving. And you have to make sure you stop along the way so you can piss, of course, because you don't want to hold in too much. And you got to walk around because you get stiff and all this other stuff. But I'm not in a rush. I was going to see family in different parts of the East Coast. And get up the next morning, and I'm driving. I'm going to make it to Florida from North Carolina. Well, that was 12 hours. Wow. 12 hours.
To Tampa, right?
Tampa. Oh, by the way, I hit the, you know, I got through the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, about 150 miles worth of Georgia. And then I hit Florida. That was another 2.5 hours to Tampa from the borderline on 95.
Oh, Tampa's gigantic. Florida is gigantic.
Oh, yeah. And you have to drive down to 10 to go across to hit 75, the 275. And then Tampa has some really nice bridges, long bridges. And I hit Tampa at 5, 6 o'clock at night. It was 8 o'clock at night. Excuse me. 8 o'clock at night. And I pull in to see I'm there to see my, one of my siblings. And voila poof, here I am. And I was famished, tired, and I slept very well that night, too. Spent some time down in Tampa, drove back up, hit Myrtle Beach. Have a sibling there and a sibling in Virginia Beach. So all in all, it was a nice tour around the East Coast. The way back was nice because I had more pit stops along the way, and it wasn't that long of a drive. Although Tampa to Myrtle Beach was 9 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people just don't realize how far that is. When I was a kid, one of our sets of grandparents, they lived in Tampa area. And we were coming home, I believe, from one of the visits. And it was like we went during like spring break or it was winter break. I can't remember. I think it was probably spring break because it was misery hot. And we had a Chevy Chevette two-door with a car top carrier with no air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
We had the seats folded down in the back into like a bed so we could just lay down and just sit down, shut up, and ride.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we haven't even passed Nedro and I'm going to kill you kids. Yes. Sit back, shut up, and ride. We stopped for dinner at like a McDonald's at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and it was hot and miserable. And my brother had an ice cream sundae, a chocolate hot fudge sundae. I don't mean to embarrass the kid, but this was impressive. He got sick from the back seat. He projectile vomited at 87 degrees, 100% humidity, hit the dashboard from the back seat of a Chevy Chevette. An ice cream sundae that he had eaten 2.5 hours prior.
Oh. There are some road trip stories, but nowadays a lot of people don't really know what it's like to get into a car and drive. I think
a lot of people drive, man.
No. I hear you. I think recently I can say in my life flying was the choice because it was, but now it's too expensive, and getting back to driving is a little bit more economical.
I fly on the regular.
Mm. It's not fun anymore. Right. It's just not fun.
Well, it's a pain in the ass, but I have a different attitude about flying. I have a very different attitude about flying than most people. You know, it's a necessity. I got to get where I'm going. So just let's, I have a challenge, you know, when I leave the house and go to the airport, the fewer people that I can have to talk to, the better. The fewer words I say when I leave my house to where I get where I'm going, the better the day is going to be.
Oh boy.
Put your headphones on. You try to block out the outside world. You just get to where you're going and you just go with the flow. So it's not the greatest experience flying anymore, but it's, you know, it's what you make of it too. People forgot how to act.
That too.
I like to get dressed when I travel. I like to dress up a little bit when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a sport coat when I travel.
The least comfortable thing to wear while you're flying, but
take it off while you sit down. Before you sit down.
All right. I get it.
But you know, take it off, fold it up, be a gentleman.
That's true. I get it. But it was nice. It was a nice trip. And when you have the time, and you're not in a rush, take a drive.
When I fly to Florida and I have to go to Tampa, I go there for business quite often. What I do is I fly onto the East Coast. I pick up my rent-a-car on the East Coast, and I drive across Alligator Alley to get to Tampa. I think it's a great drive. I love it. It's a whole different planet crossing the middle of Florida.
That's wherever the GPS takes you sometimes, it's an adventure, I will say. Going down to Tampa, they had me going across a two-lane road with swampland on both sides, kind of thing in the middle of nowhere, nothing to be found. Parts of Florida. I was like, boy, I've never seen this part of Florida before, but yeah.
Huh.
Or man. When you're going to South Carolina, you know, Myrtle Beach has no main highway going into Myrtle Beach.
Nope. US 1, baby.
17. 17. Yeah,
and then US 1 runs along the coast.
Yeah. And you can't, there's no main highway that goes into Myrtle Beach. I think they did it on purpose because they don't want, it's hard to, you know, to make a left to go straight across one of the major intersections, you have to make a right turn, make a U-turn, and make another right turn to keep people from getting T-boned. So, interesting. Anyway,
well, that's a fast hour.
It is a fast hour, but we're here talking about the things we love to talk about here on the Signal 50 podcast. I'm Bravo Golf 592. Just get a chance to follow us on X, Signal 50 Podcast. That's where you can find me, where I'm posting stuff. You can find Alpha on X also as Alpha Sierra 288. You will not find him on True Social or Getter, but you'll find me there. And, of course, I follow President Trump with humility and admiration. Anyway, I got the shaking head from my friend here. Alpha, thank our friends, will you?
Well, police, fire, and EMS out there on the streets. You're having a tough night. Heard about the three federal marshals killed, serving a warrant. And deeply sorry to hear about that. The police officers involved there. Terrible incident. Please be careful out there. To our soldiers, sailors, and airmen stationed around the world, be careful. It's a dangerous world, and we appreciate what you do. Thanks a lot.
Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Alpha, we'll see you later, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one.